Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself. Marcellus Wiley here, graduating from some eighth grade around this country. Look at this suit. What the hell? And Emmanuel Acho is back.
Did your new suits not come in?
Not yet. You can tell. Ooh, look at this. Actually, this is a compliment. I shouldn't be so upset. Well, let's get it started with somebody who may be upset and some big news in Cleveland. Let's talk about the Browns, who host the Broncos tomorrow night on Fox. But they have another quarterback in the lineup. Case Keenum will start in place of somebody who may be upset, Baker Mayfield, after he aggravated the fully torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder during Sunday's loss. Baker said Tuesday that it was his decision to play or not, but now he'll be breaking his 51 straight regular season starting streak. Acho, here we go. Will Baker get his starting job back? You hear that?
So I think he will. I think. Ain't no guarantees. I mean, now, if you are a Browns fan, you probably don't want Baker to get a starting job back anytime soon. Because Case Keenum, when Kevin Stefanski was his quarterback coach in 2017 for the Minnesota Vikings, y'all remember the Minnesota Miracle? Case Keenum led the Minnesota Vikings to a 12-4 record, playoffs included. They were 13-3 in the regular season. Case Keenum took over for a former number one overall pick. Case Keenum took over for a former Oklahoma quarterback. Oh. Case Keenum took over for a former Heisman winner. I didn't even prep that in the notes. That just came to me now. Good Case boy, Keenum good. Took over good boy, good. For Sam Bradford and led the Vikings to the playoffs, to a playoff win, to a miraculous playoff win, if you will. Mm. So if you are a Browns fan, you shouldn't rush to give Baker Mayfield his job back. And in all honesty, you might want to anticipate he won't get it back. Kevin Stefanski is already fond of Case Keenum. We know that. That's why Case Keenum is not only on the roster, but making $6 million as a backup quarterback. Let's not get it twisted how much money that is for a backup quarterback. Case Keenum has succeeded under Kevin Stefanski's tutelage. He wasn't the OC, that was Pat Shurmur. He wasn't the head coach, that was Zimmer. But he was still the quarterback coach. So Case Keenum has succeeded under Stefanski's tutelage. I do not think Baker Mayfield will get his job back very soon, primarily because of the shoulder injury. Okay. But if you're a Browns fan, you should probably want to see what Case Keenum can go ahead and cook up. Mm. I want to, at least.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, God. I know in our industry, people are getting tired of all these hot takes, but nobody could get tired of a hot question right here. And this question, will Baker get his starting job back? I thought it was premature. We were prepping for this. I heard the question this morning. I said, well, wait a minute. I know that Baker's not starting, but he's still the starter. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a starter in the league, there were games I didn't start. And I'd be damned if I ever watched the show and they said, will Marcellus ever get his starting job back? I'm like, I haven't even missed a game yet. Woo, it feels a little premature. But then you start to think, and then you start to realize, and then you start to sound like Acho. Like, wait a minute. Not only should Case Keenum start this game, but give him a little runway just to see what Case Keenum can do. Because Case is going to make a case for Case to be the starter.
Was that an original one or does that come from your producer?
Come on, man. I'm triple OG.
Did it come from your producer or not?
That was actually me. That wasn't Eric B. That was Rakim. Okay, let's get some. Now let's talk about this dynamic, what's really happening right now. Because I know Baker Mayfield and what he's feeling right now. He's feeling like, oh, man. I'm going to mess up. Not mess up in terms of my performances going forward. Is he going to come back in terms of health? I don't know. I had a torn labrum. That's the end-all, be-all of shoulder injuries. Look, here's the pecking order of shoulder injuries.
Talk to me.
You get an AC joint. I used to get that. Get the long needle, longer than your arm injected. Where it hurt? Right there. Okay, we're going to give it something. Ha, I'm good. You can get that shaved down. Then you get the rotator cuff. That messes with quarterbacks. Trust me, I understand that. But I had that as well. Still was out there getting sacks and doing rip moves, all that. But then that labrum came, and it went and knocked on me and said, Marcellus, that's it. That no more play. And I was like, oh, torn labrum. It's his non-throwing shoulder, but how does that affect him? The shoulder goes from here, which is proper balance, proper structure. Look, you could be in the pocket, stand tall, to this. Mm-hmm. Now, where are those balls going if you're in Cleveland? Lake Erie? They gone, dog. They are in Lake Erie in terms of accuracy. What is Case Keenum going to do in terms of pressure? He's going to present a case to not only the team, but to the organization that, hey, well, we're going to spend maybe $200 million on this when we can get a facsimile, something approximate to that, and spend lesser than. Case Keenum's going to give them something that they could look at in an alternate universe that may be worth the value of what Case Keenum's going to provide.
Let's break down for y'all, the viewers, what other shows might not, which are the hard truths. I love Baker Mayfield. I love the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Browns drafted me, so y'all have my affinity for life. But I also got to tell y'all these hard truths. The NFL does not want to pay players. Teams don't want to. They will if they have to. You know, remember that game, Mercy?
Mercy.
You playing with somebody and, oh, Mercy. You got me.
Yeah.
That's all contract negotiations are.
Ooh.
Contract negotiations are a game of mercy, except you are always the younger brother as a player. And the older brother is the team. And the older brother will more than likely bend that arm, twist that wrist, contort that knuckle until you say, mercy.
Yeah, right.
Well, Baker Mayfield actually has the Browns a little bit as a younger brother. Baker Mayfield led the Browns to the playoffs first time since 2002. Baker Mayfield led the Browns to 11 wins, first time since, I believe, 2002 again. Baker Mayfield led the Browns to a playoff win, first time since 1994. So Baker has all the leverage. But.
But what?
If you get bench Baker because of a shoulder injury, and we replace you with a 33-year-old Case Keenum, and he does what you were doing, which wasn't very impressive this season.
Nah.
6 touchdown passes. That's 1 touchdown pass a game. 3 interceptions. And you've lost 2 games in a row. You're currently sitting at 500, 3-3. We will now get to identify, Baker, how much value are you adding? I personally want to believe it is a lot. But, so you've been in this position before. At least we've talked about these positions before. You never want to get replaced because now we can accurately dictate your value. When you're currently there, we assume, man, Baker, they went 11-5 because of you last year.
Yep.
We assume that the Browns are legit contenders with Baker at the helm. We assume, man, Browns, y'all don't want to go back to what you had before, to the Johnny Manziels of the world, to the Brandon Whedons of the world. But we don't have to assume anymore. And you know what they say about assuming.
But it make a what?
It only makes a out of you and me.
Man, you sound like
and
a
coach. Now we ain't got to assume. Now we can see exactly how much value Baker Mayfield is adding. If you are a Browns fan, and Bump being a Browns fan, say you Andrew Berry, GM of the Browns, great guy, phenomenal guy, brilliant mind. He was over at Philly. I know Andrew Berry. He's looking like, man, I might be able to save a couple dollars if Case Keenum balls, because now, Baker Mayfield, you no longer have leverage. We have leverage once again.
Man, damn Baker Mayfield in that position. And damn, this show is the one to highlight that position. Emotional content is what we're giving this actual example, and that's what I love about doing this show. In life, especially in sports, especially football, non-guaranteed contracts, never let the price exceed the value. Okay, you know what that means? If you're Baker Mayfield, you can never let them think that they were going to pay you something that you weren't worth. And now they're going to get to see what you were worth. Ooh, that's a problem. God dog, Baker Mayfield. Here's the thing. $200 million I was going to get if everything just kept rolling, right? Status quo. Here's the problem. Now you're not in the lineup. Can anybody else hand the ball off to these running backs and get us some victories? Because that's what Baker Mayfield ended up being in terms of a starting quarterback. He wasn't a guy who was out there prolific in the pocket. He wasn't a guy that was lighting up in terms of passing statistics. 26th in passing offense. Can we get somebody who's cheaper than $200 million that can hand the ball off and still have us 26th rank in passing offense? I think they can. And the guy is Case Keenum. Let's highlight some of the stats you brought up about Case Keenum 2017 Minnesota versus this year Baker Mayfield. I wonder who had a higher win percentage. You already know. Completion percentage. You already know. Passing yards per game. You already know. Passer rating. You already know. And they had the same damn coach in Kevin Stefanski. That is a problem. It's the same problem to everyone in this world who's trying to really internalize what we're talking about. Man, we didn't play football. What's the problem? Hey, he's the starter. You never lose your job to injury. Y'all stopped saying that, right, a couple years ago when we saw Colin Kaepernick come in, Alex Smith and the concussions. You can't lose your job because of injury. It's the same issue that everyone in this world has when they have credit and credit cards versus cash. Okay, let's go into the store. Now, you're going to spend what you're going to spend. But if you got a credit card, they have already shown, not only economists, but psychologists that if you ain't got cash, something that you could really touch and feel, then you're going to spend a little bit more because I ain't got to really deal with that right now. Baker Mayfield was spending money that he didn't have just yet. The organization was about to spend money in credit because they were like, Baker Mayfield has changed the fortunes. Baker Mayfield is our new credit card. He's likable. Our fan base loves him. He's changed our fortunes. Okay, put the card down, whatever you need, Baker Mayfield. And then here come Case Keenum, like, no, I got this. And then he pulled out one of those Wesley Snipes, Nino Brown wads. Like, it ain't going to cost you that much. Have you ever got a check? All right, this is going to sound a little elitist, but sometimes I am. You ever get a check for $100,000 in your life?
It was crazy. I got one after the National Football League.
There it is. But see, that counts. Congratulations. Ooh, boo. All right, you got $100,000. I think that means something. $100,000. $100,000 check, right?
A check like that, crazy.
Have you ever had $100,000 cash in your life? Holding it. Just holding
yes,
it.
Yes, but I didn't own, it wasn't mine.
Have you ever had your own?
No.
Ah, me either. But the point is this. I have seen someone who has said, when they get a check, all right, ball it up. Here you go, deposit that. When they get that wad, they hold on to it differently. Case Keenum is now going to present them a cash offer. That's going to be less. That's going to actually impact the moment more, and it's going to pinch them in a little bit different way than that credit card of Baker Mayfield.
I love that take, and I apologize for the elitism.
Yeah, we got it.
You know, we just, 30 seconds, talking about $100,000 checks.
I mean,
I just got mine. He lived on his, okay? We're in different
got lines. This old suit off of that.
Here's what I have to do, though.
Okay.
I'm not going to make the same ignorant mistake I made last year when Andy Dalton was replacing Dak Prescott, and I was like, oh, the Cowboys ain't going to miss a beat. Andy Dalton might actually make the... Okay, but we have to remember that Baker Mayfield is not Dak Prescott, and Case Keenum is actually probably the equivalent of Andy Dalton. Mm. Also, for those that look and say, well, Case Keenum was 0-8 as a starter in Washington, remember... That was Jay Gruden's last year as a head coach.
Okay.
That was Callahan's last year as a head coach. Mm. Well, Case Keenum wasn't good in Denver either. That was Vance Joseph's last little stint as a head man. Mm. So it's not as though Case Keenum is not a good quarterback for those that want to look at the numbers and think that he just had one great year. It's when you give Case Keenum a good defense, good enough defense, and the Browns defense by no means is great. Okay. But they can force some fumbles because of Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney's been in his bag. They can be opportunistic. When you give Case Keenum a good running game and a safe play-action pass, take shots, high percentage, completion percentage, that is when Case Keenum can lead your team to victories. Remember, that year Case Keenum was a starter, his colleagues, his peers ranked him the 51 best player in the NFL, the 51st best player in the National Football League. If I'm not mistaken, Baker Mayfield peaked at being ranked in the 70s this past season. Again, like Marcellus Wiley said, I don't talk cash and checks. I talk chips at the casino. Mm. It's much easier to play a $5,000 chip. I played several $5,000 chips. I done paid several $10,000 hands. But I would never put up $5,000 cash or $10,000 cash. And like Sal just said, you bring up a good point.
Yes.
Baker Mayfield was about to win off credit. Mm. We're going to find out if it's cash.
Mm, $4,970. Boy, you would never in your life. And just say, okay, deal me whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. Hell no. And that's the thing. You think you're thinking like that? Baker Mayfield's thinking just like that as well. And quietly, the organization is sitting back saying, wait a minute, this may be a discount for us. Let me tell you, who knows the backup better than even the backup maybe? The starter. The starter in this position, Baker Mayfield, knows how good his backup is. That's why Baker Mayfield kept saying, I know my own body. Nobody else could tell me I can't play. Baker Mayfield wanted to play with a torn labrum. Lets you know he does not want to miss a beat because we're going to be able to see who's next. On any team that is struggling, lower than expectations, the most popular player is always that backup
quarterback.
Well, we're going to see not only how popular, but how productive that backup is. Coming up, can the Cowboys handle their current success? We'll tell you if we're worried about Dak's crew. That's next. Don't speak for yourself.
Or I'll get your suit tailored during the break.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Cowboys are on a 5-game win streak, but
They still got a few obstacles in their path. Remember, Dak Prescott's dealing with a calf strain. And on Tuesday morning, safety DeMonte KZ was arrested. No, for a DWI. This news followed Mike McCarthy warning his team about distractions during the bye week. He added, quote, "I got a lot of confidence and a lot of trust in those guys," close quote.
Ah, Sal.
Oh, God, the praying hands and you looking down? Come on, Al Green, what you about to say?
Well, I just got a question. Question.
Wow, you worried?
The Cowboys cannot handle their success.
Not worried at all. I will admit, when it first broke the news of me, sitting here as a broadcaster, 46 years old with four kids, I was like, oh, come on, Cowboys. You look distracted. And then I started to realize, oh, I used to be a player. Let's go into the mindset of not only this individual player, but the team as a whole. And I'm not worried at all. This will be a lesson for the entire team, not just KZ. Let's talk about why. It's a bye week, right? So everybody's going to make their plans to go somewhere. Either you're going to go to Miami and party out, or you're going to go to Dak's backyard and that stadium he built in the backyard. And everybody's just going to hang with Dak, right? Any way it goes, you're going to go do something. Now, Acho, what was your mindset during a bye week when you were about to hang out? Look, I'm not going to get in any trouble, but the leash going to be a little longer than normal because I'm about to let a little steam off, right? Now you get a call. Hey, guess what happened to DeMonte? What? He got a DWI. Damn it. You know what you do immediately? Like a fishing pole. Bring that leash back in here. Because you know what? Everybody is sitting there not being reckless, but you're like, if I get in trouble, I get in trouble. But if I get in trouble after someone else gets in trouble, that's going to be double trouble. Mm-hmm. And ain't no damn way I'm going to be that dude that raises his hand for that. So this is a lesson for all. But let me take you back to my studies and the sociology in terms of what happened here. They call it definition of others. What does that mean? It's necessary for you to become Emmanuel Acho by looking at people who didn't become who they should have become. You got an uncle, you got a cousin, you got a homeboy, and you looked at him and you watched him, you emulated him, you wanted to be like him. He was your boy. And then you started to see that some of the choices that they made didn't have rose petals at the end of that road. Then you realize, oh, I'm going to define myself by somebody else. I'm going to do what they didn't do. This team as a collective will respond by not doing what he did. And this is not going to disqualify them from anything. The Hall of Fame is filled with dudes who were mess-ups. Mm-hmm. And Super Bowl championship teams were filled with dudes who, you had to turn a blind eye to their indiscretion. So for me, I'm not worried at all because I think this is the alarm that's going to sound to make everybody act right on this bye week.
I'm going to say something that's going to change your mind and hopefully blow y'all's mind. The Cowboys won't be able to handle their success because their head coach, Mike McCarthy, has never proven he can handle the success. Last time Mike McCarthy started 5-1 and better, he started 6-0 2015. Green Bay Packers went to the bye week like the Cowboys now, week six, bye week. Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy came out of that bye week and lost three consecutive games. He went into the playoffs and he got bounced in the divisional round. Well, Mike McCarthy started 5-1 or better in 2011. He started 13-0. We talked to Greg Jennings. He was on that team. Mm-hmm. They go 15-1. Mm-hmm. Again, they were feeling themselves. Let their superstar at the time, receiver Greg Jennings, tell it. They get bounced. Divisional round. But Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl, and we got to give him his credit for doing that. When did he win a Super Bowl? When they were 10-6, a wild card team, decimated by injuries, and you run the table as a wild card team. So Mike McCarthy has never actually shown he can handle success. What Mike McCarthy has proven to us is he can handle the storm, the 10-6 storm, as a wild card team leading his team. Road game, road game, road game, road game, Super Bowl win. I need that. But when he was 15-1, bounced, first playoff game, New York Giants. When he started off 6-0, bye week, lost three games in a row coming off that bye week, and now as the head coach for the Cowboys, they're 5-1. Give your players the entire week off, but you got to understand your kids. Like any parent, you got to understand your kids, what they can handle, what they cannot handle. If your kids cannot handle having no curfew, then instill a curfew. Because I know some coaches who have a bye week, no, we still going to practice Monday. We still going to practice Tuesday. Then y'all can come off until Sunday. But I'm not going to give y'all the whole week off. Because remember, DeMonte KZ got in trouble
the first night, he could get in trouble. Cowboys played on the road Sunday in New England. Cowboys likely did not land back at DFW until roughly give or take 1 a.m., I would say. Game man's at about 7 or so. You don't get on the plane, leave until 10 or so. They probably didn't land until 1 a.m. or so. And DeMonte KZ, he was already tired. Remember, he claimed that it was his job, his fault he got beat on that Trayvon Diggs play. So I know he was mentally, if not physically, exhausted. So the first night you could go out, which is Monday night into Tuesday morning, you go out and you get in trouble. The reason I fear the Cowboys can't handle their success is because Mike McCarthy has never been able to prove he can handle success. He can handle the storm. But he ain't proven he can handle success.
Oh, there's nothing worse in this world. You ain't changed my mind. Did he blow y'all mind? I don't know. Y'all tell me. Hit me on Twitter. Oh, man. Ain't nothing worse in this world when people want to connect the dots and they want to connect the dots with the lowest common denominator. You use his low points of his life, his low points in his career.
KZ or McCarthy?
Sound like both, but that's why you said both. You use those to try to get this narrative out there, and I'm going to sit here and push back.
Please do.
You say, oh, Mike McCarthy, you ain't ready for this. You can't handle success.
Hasn't proven it.
Oh, and there are 32 head coaches in the league.
Yes,
how many of them have Super Bowl championships?
Eight now, nine.
So let me just start off here with some simple math. 24 of you coaches out there can't even handle the success to even get in the position to have the success of winning the Super Bowl championship. Let's just start there. Okay, so Mike McCarthy said, oh, I ain't in that group. So I'm one of eight. Now, let's get to DeMonte KZ. Has he been in trouble before? Last time I checked, no. Now, I may be wrong. I don't know everything about him. Maybe his record got expunged. I don't know. But I do know, was he a rookie in 2017? Because Acho comes up here and says, the first moment he gets a chance to get in trouble, he does. When you get drafted in the NFL, day one is the day you can get in trouble. He was in Atlanta for years, and I ain't never heard of him in terms of getting in trouble. He survived Atlanta. He gonna handle Dallas just fine. The DWI was obviously a blemish. But let's not try and characterize him as something he's not, and let's not try to exaggerate this as this team is something that they're not, including their leader. When you look at him, when you look at this situation, it's as simple as this. Choir boys work on Sundays, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not in the NFL. You know where they work at? They do this. That's what they do. Come on, girl, turn it up. That's what they do at the tabernacle. But in the NFL, the choir boys, they don't always exist. It's okay to have a guy. Let me give you some names.
Where are you going, though, Sam?
Where I'm going? I'm going where. Did we watch AB get on a team last year? And AB's had his issues. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody's name, but I got to bring it up because it's of record. And that team won a Super Bowl. Yeah, you can win a Super Bowl with an AB, duh. DeMonte KZ is not even on that level in terms of indiscretions in the past. Did we see a Marshawn Lynch turn over a new entire script, forget a leaf, an entire new identity when he went to the Super Bowl in Seattle? Y'all remember Marshawn in Buffalo? Like, people can do these kind of things, and that team was a championship. Let's not go back to all the way the Ravens. Let's not go back to when the Rams won and they had some DUI issues, manslaughter issues. Point being, in the NFL, no one raises their hand in the idealistic way to say we're going to have some problems on our team. But also, they don't tell you to put your hand down in terms of a Super Bowl championship if you do have some problems on your team. So I'm not going to really go out there and exaggerate what he did. Bad, but it's going to be a lesson for all to do good.
I don't know if a DWI needs exaggeration. It's already an exaggerated crime. Like, I'm not making this any worse than it is.
Yes, you are.
My dog was out at 3 a.m. intoxicated behind a wheel, if I'm not mistaken. Please.
Can we do this? Are we going to do the real show? Are we going to do the... Oh, come on. Oh, look, he did something wrong. Look, CHP, California Highway Patrol, came to us and gave us a seminar once. They said, look, you football players, all of y'all in here, 200, 300 pounds, all the muscles. I know y'all going to fall into these traps. Let me help you out. You guys drink too much in volume. Now, you may think you're drinking to intoxication. He's going to tell you that the threshold is lower than you're going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
I've known that for a fact. That's why I've never had a DUI, because I caught the trap before it actually was presented. Another thing that happens to these football players, and I'm not excusing behavior, I'm just trying to let you know that this guy may not have made the worst decision in the world. Let me tell you why. Once you say you're going out, your mind is of clear mind, body, and sound, right? And then you get out. And then all of a sudden you start to think to yourself, oh, you know what? I may be having a couple
I'm going to have a couple more. Now, at that moment, Acho, what should you do? Because you don't drink, so I understand you've never been through these beats. Mm-hmm. What should you do? Call your friend, right? What should you do? Hand someone your keys. What should someone else do? Take the keys from you, et cetera, et cetera. But you know what the CHP told us, and you know what always happens? These guys are making decisions when they're already intoxicated. So any decision he made once he left his house was an intoxicated decision. That's not a justification. That is an explanation that hopefully somebody who's never had a drink can understand.
It's not a matter of understanding, but I think just as you pull out verbal grace, you also need to push out verbal justice.
He getting the justice.
I'm a different dude. Like you said, I ain't never drank. I ain't never drunk driven. Yep. But I know this much. I'm not the type to offer extended amounts of grace for a guy putting his life and other people's life at risk at 3 a.m.
That's my issue. And, but that's not our conversation here.
It's not.
Our conversation is, are the Cowboys in a position to handle the success?
Yes, sir.
Are they? Are they going to get drunk off their success? Yes or no?
The reason I think yes is because the team hasn't taken figurative drinks before of success, then they don't have a high tolerance. I ain't never drunk before, but I hung out with a lot of cats that have, so I know this much.
But you know.
I know the more you drink, the higher your tolerance is for alcohol.
Yeah, my Uncle Benefield could put a pint
down. The Cowboys have not drunk much success. Mm. They were 13-3 Dak's first season and Zeke's first season, 2016. Okay, but who are the major players on that team? CeeDee Lamb wasn't there.
Hmm.
Amari Cooper wasn't there.
Hmm.
Michael Parsons wasn't there. KZ obviously wasn't there. Randy Gregory was there, but he was suspended for 10 games during the course of the season. So when I look at so many of the Cowboys contributing players, they're superstars on offense outside of Dak and Zeke, Amari, CD. They're superstars on defense right now because DeMarcus Lawrence is hurt. Randy Gregory balling. Trayvon Diggs wasn't there. Michael Parsons wasn't there. So their best players defensively weren't there, and their superstars offensively weren't there. So because of that, in the literal sense, alcohol, you can grow your tolerance based upon drinking success, then I would assume you can grow your figurative tolerance based on drinking the figurative success. These Cowboys players ain't tasted success like this, so I think they all gonna get drunk off 5-1 because you feel a little differently.
At least that coaster driver has never, ever been pulled over. Like
he did, though.
When?
If you go 6-0 in 2015 and you lose your next three, that's getting caught at the wheel.
How the hell?
If you go 15-1
and what?
And you lose your first playoff game?
Yeah, that's bad.
That's getting caught at the wheel. That's getting drunk.
Late, great Marty Schottenheimer went 14-2. They lost their first playoff game before. It happens. That doesn't mean that's a DUI. That doesn't mean that's a DWI. In this situation, how many guys can get you all the way home? That's the conversation we should have. How many coaches can do what Mike McCarthy's already done? Raise your hand if you can, coach. Two-thirds of this league can't even raise their hand. But you're going to ride with them. Be in the car, making a lot of noise, not going anywhere. Me, I'm rolling the dice with Mike McCarthy. It's going to be a fun ride. Coming up, Lamar Jackson was called a running back that also plays quarterback. Oh, damn. Whew. We'll tell you if we have an issue with this bulletin board material. Next on Spicy, speak for yourself.
Somebody come get Marcellus.
Welcome back. Just hours away from game 5 of the ALCS at Fenway Park in Boston. Got the series tied at 2 apiece. Love that. Last night, the Astros exploded in the late innings, set the table for today's pivotal game 5. Coverage starts next only on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. So give me some of your baseball numbers, guys. Let's get back to the NFL, where Lamar Jackson will lead his Ravens in a big AFC North matchup against the Bengals on Sunday. And he might have some extra motivation. Lamar's passing ability has been criticized his entire career. And Bengals linebacker Logan Wilson provided bulletin board material ahead of their matchup. Take a listen to Lowe.
He's a running back that also plays quarterback, I think. He's very dynamic. You just got to contain him as best you can. You know, we'll get more into that game plan next week.
Wilson clarified his comments, tweeting, "This is 1,000% a compliment to him with his skill set as a runner. No need to try and make something out of nothing. LOL, we all know he's an elite passer, too." Acho, you have an issue with Wilson calling Lamar a running back that plays quarterback?
No. And everybody stop being offended when people say that Lamar is a running back that plays quarterback. Take it as the compliment it is. Lamar Jackson, he fits the description. He just don't play the position.
What you mean?
Lamar Jackson has more rushing attempts than RB1 for the Philadelphia Eagles, Miles Sanders. Lamar Jackson has a higher rushing average than the best running back in the game of football in Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson has more rushing touchdowns than RB2. Some people say should be RB1 for the Dallas Cowboys and Tony Pollard. Lamar Jackson fits the description. He just don't play the position. Mm. Lamar Jackson is both a top five rusher and a top five passer. Take it as a compliment. It is. Lamar Jackson, you a beast, beast. Uh-huh. That's it. Let's remove the conversation from Lamar so we can remove the sting and have a real conversation. People used to say that the great Cam Chancellor was like a linebacker. Mm-hmm. They didn't say that as a slight. They said my dog, Bam Bam, hit like a linebacker. Mm. Now watch his highlights. My dog also gets pick sixes against top flight quarterbacks. Watch Cam Chancellor's highlights. He's a dude. Let's talk about a close friend of mine, not as big a name, Brad Smith, beast quarterback.
Quarterback Brad Smith? Missouri.
Played wide receiver when I was in Philly with the Eagles. Mm. He was a quarterback playing receiver. Why did they say that? Because he knew how to find the soft spots in zones. Brad Smith wasn't about to beat anybody in man-to-man coverage. He wasn't about to burn you down the field, beat you on a go route. But sit there and cover three if you want to. He going to find a place to settle, and he going to get some catches. So calling Lamar Jackson a running back that plays quarterback is not a diss. Nor was calling Cam Chancellor a linebacker. It was just saying he hits like one. Lamar Jackson fits the description of a running back. He just does not play the position of running back. It is a compliment.
Come on, man. I love you too much to get up here and let that just keep going and spew all across these airwaves in terms of this wasn't an issue. I got a big issue with this, and I'm going to tell you why. It wouldn't be a diss if you already knew that he wasn't getting dissed for just that. Okay? Now, I had to learn this the hard way because you know me. I'm pretty raw in terms of how I like my humor. Like, give it to me the way it's supposed to be, profane and all. I don't give a damn. But I've learned that some people do. So you're going to choose the diss that he's been dissed at and then act like it's not a diss. Okay, throw your rocks and hide your hands if you want to. Plausible deniability, right? What are you talking about? I'll give you an example, and I'll give you actually two examples. One is it a joke if it's not funny to the person that's receiving it? You know, I don't mind you saying mama jokes, even though my mama's dead. But I do know some people that will go to blows if you just say yo mama. I know that. So I wonder if my man Logan Wilson understands these human elements and dynamics. Lamar Jackson has led the NFL in terms of passing touchdowns. So if we're ever going to take a jab at Lamar or just give him a compliment, let's start with the obvious, right? Like, he is an elite passer. But you didn't start with that, but you used that in your clarification statement. I give it to you like this. Would you ever put on, like, Acho, you always clean. You and Shannon Sharp over there battling. I don't know who winning, but y'all out there battling, right? Would you ever put on an all-white linen suit and then just walk in some mud? No. Would you ever be in some mud and then just walk out and put on an all-white linen suit? No. So don't act like the issue is which order I did it. Oh, I forgot. I just didn't say elite passer. That ain't the problem. The problem is the mud. And the mud in this conversation is this. You said he's a running back. Last time I checked, none of those examples was the person ever disparaged to a point where they may not have even had the opportunity to play quarterback out of college. But they were told by Bill Polian and others that they should play running back. So all I'm saying is, Logan Wilson, you thought it was a compliment or you think it's funny, LOL. All I'm saying is make sure the person you're talking about is receiving it the same way.
That is fair. I do not believe joke is truly a joke if the person that you're making the joke about can't laugh at the joke. Fair.
Can Lamar laugh at that? But he can't get that stigma off him.
Let me say something hopefully heightens this level of conversation. Ooh. Probably one of the greatest things I've learned in the last 6 months. I was talking to, let me preface here. This is short for disparaging, or it's short for disability. Okay. That's what this is short for. We know that. I'm talking to a major corporation, their head of disabilities, and I'm hosting this conversation, and me trying to be kind and polite is like, oh, you have such unique differences. You are so uniquely skilled, because I'm not trying to say disability. I'm thinking that's offensive.
Oh, I get you.
So I'm trying to avoid using that word disability. Mm. As soon as the speaker that I was trying to be kind with gets on to speak back to me, she says, I cringed when you avoided saying disability. Because when people talk about disabilities, they only focus on the dis and not the ability.
Mm.
I was like, mind blown.
I like that.
As I'm talking and thinking about Lamar Jackson, and we say it's a dis to call him a running back that also plays quarterback, why don't we stop focusing on the dis and focus on the ability in this longer word of disability? Because his ability
is to be able to have a 6.1 rushing yards per carry when Derrick Henry's is only 4.6. His ability is to have 64 carries when Miles Sanders only has 57. His ability is to have multiple rushing touchdowns when Tony Pollard only has one rushing touchdown. Everybody want to focus on the diss. Mm. Calling Lamar Jackson is a diss. Mm. Well, in that word disability, there's also the word ability. And I'm going to focus on Lamar Jackson's running ability along with his passing ability.
Yeah. That sounds good on paper. And you got an example to support that paper, so it's not paper thin. You actually got a human to hold up that little piece of paper. But I'm going to give you something a little different.
You just feel like arguing.
Every day, all day, end day, every damn day, Outcast. You know who's right there in terms of rushing touchdowns and rushing prowess with Lamar Jackson? Josh Allen. I dare someone ever say that Josh Allen's a running back that could... clarification post. LOL. He's also an elite passer. You know why they don't do that? Because we all play ball. I'm not even going to racial element. Look, in this conversation, you know me, I usually don't want to hear somebody going racial. But I give you a little of my earwax on this one. Like, if y'all wanted to go there, go there. I'm listening. I'm not saying that, though. But I'm not going there either. I'm going to go here. NFL 101. We all went to some park. 8 years old for me. What year did you start playing football?
Eight.
Okay, 8 years old. Little Acho Dusty. I'm sure no lotion. You're eight. You shouldn't have on lotion on your knees. And coach looks at all of us, right? This is what I hate. And you talked about this in broadcasting. Let's take it before we were broadcasters. The box, typecast, how we get put in it. I know. Me, at 8 years old, as soon as I got there, my coach didn't even ask me a question. Didn't see me run a drill. He said, go over there with the running backs. Right? Mm-hmm. Then I also see my little chunky homeboy, John Aragon, and see my other little chunkier than me. They not even big. They just not small like us. Linemen. Right? And then coach lets us play. And then he sees, damn, John, you can run. Come over here with the fullbacks and linebackers. Right? But he let them get out that box, never keeping them trapped and imprisoned in that box. But the funny thing is, what Lamar Jackson, to fast forward this, has still been, no matter leading the league in touchdowns, passing touchdowns, is still in that box where in our minds, in our perception, in stigma, he's still playing a position to other people that the dude has clearly showed you that he doesn't have to play. That's my only problem with you. Let me win Miss Universe. Mr. Universe. Let me win Miss Universe and somebody go up to her and say, hey, girl, you ain't that cute. You'd be like, mother. Like, that's how Lamar feels when people say he ain't a lead passer. Or worse, they wait till after they get the backlash and then want to clarify it. Coming up, there's no brotherly love with Ben Simmons and the Sixers right now. We'll tell you who's to blame for the drama. That's next. Don't speak for yourself, Nogan. Yeah, I called you Nogan. I'm sorry. Coming up next, it's game five of the ALCS. Alex Cora and the Red Sox looks to take a commanding 3-2 series lead before the series shifts back to Houston. Ace Town. Coverage starts next from Fenway Park right here on FS1. So speaking of today's pivotal game five, David Ortiz is putting his money on the line. Scan the QR code, download the Fox Bet Super 6 app, and answer six questions about Astros Red Sox game five for your chance to win $10,000 of Big Poppy's money. Don't miss out. There's still time to make the picks. Completely free to play. Now let's get to the NBA. Ben Simmons will not play in the Sixers opening tonight. What? This follows the three-time All-Star being thrown out of practice. Get out of here. Tuesday by Doc Rivers after reports say he declined several times to sub in for a drill. Rivers called Simmons a, quote, distraction. And later, he was suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the team. Joel Embiid was asked about the situation and said, quote, our job is not to babysit somebody. Acho, who's to blame for the Ben Simmons drama? That?
Yeah.
You got to do wait and exhale?
This was a wait and exhale one. Where my one shot? Because I need people to feel this one. This one, I had to feel this one. The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth.
One more time, please. One time.
The child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth.
Mm.
What we can all agree on is this much. Ben Simmons wasn't embraced by the village. Now, Sixers fans, you might try to say, well, we embraced him early on. But Ben Simmons came into the league as a figurative speaking child, 20 years old. Ben Simmons was not embraced, at least not through the duration. Many people say, well, we embraced him until he stopped shooting. Well, sure, then you embraced him conditionally. Mm. Ben Simmons wasn't embraced by Sixers fans. He wasn't embraced by his head coach, Doc Rivers. Remember, after they lost, Doc Rivers said, I don't know if you can win a championship with him. He wasn't embraced by superstar Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons was not embraced by his tribe, by his village, by the Sixers organization. And thus, you're now seeing him burn it down. Mm. Don't say that a max deal or $180 million, $160 million is an embrace. That's money. And there's a difference in life between love and money. Don't ever get it twisted. So who do I blame? Sure, I blame Simmons to some degree. But who do I really blame? I blame those that are part of the Sixers franchise. And I also blame those, to some degree, Sixers fans. I don't think people that are fans ever understand what it's like to be the person that is the player. Yeah. Real quick, and then I'll be done. I know you got a lot
in your mind. Take your time. Do it right.
The audience never understands what it's like to be the actor. Mm-hmm. The audience boos, the audience cheers, the audience jeers. But regardless, they have no idea what it's like to be the actor. The disparaging tweets, the condemnation of everything Ben Simmons does. Why would he want to play there? Mm. Why would he want to sign up for that? There isn't an amount of money that can buy somebody's happiness. I'll say it again because I've had to experience it. There isn't an amount of money that can buy somebody's happiness. So again, the child that's not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth, and Ben Simmons is now just burning it down.
Damn. That was a fire take right there. You burnt that up right there. Respect. I'm going to put my take on the side of that take because I'm not disagreeing with you. I just want to add to what you said and supplement it. Who's to blame? Ben Simmons is not the one to blame. Let's talk about how this all happened in timeline. And if you really want to go all the way back, let's go back to LSU. When Ben Simmons and his reputation preceded him from LSU to Philadelphia. There's a scouting report out there. You can see where it has him dead to rights in terms of Simmons' lack of competitiveness and critical games has raised questions about his character, it says. Good Lord. Says that things don't revolve around him on and off the court, then guess what? He's often closed-minded to coaching and instruction. Damn! And it seems like we're there right now, correct? But the devil's in the details. What happened from LSU to right now? Ben Simmons is a person that knows that his reputation preceded him. Therefore, Ben Simmons has done nothing but try to be a great teammate and great player. Now, you can like Ben Simmons or not. You can't deny he's a great player, correct? Okay, we're going to give him a respect. Four NBA seasons, three All-Stars, two All-Defensive, one All-NBA. Steals leader last year. We're going to respect Ben Simmons. Don't do that. But the thing is, what happened? What made this house of cards collapse? Two things. And I know this intimately, and I'll give you a story after that. One, Ben Simmons was like, I don't need everyone to love me. I don't need everyone to be on my side. But I am doing this for something. And my peace comes from the solace of us being in this together and building this. And what happened? After a playoff loss, after a playoff defeat, after he didn't show up in a playoff game, his teammate, the one that he was building this house with, this village with, went out there and shot at him for the village, for the public to consume. Then after that, his own coach, who had to clarify his statement, also disparaged the same guy that he was trying to build something with in Doc Rivers. I respect both of those guys, but at the same time, Doc, I think a little bit of plausible deniability is in the court because why did you even go to that place with Ben Simmons? So what do you expect from Ben Simmons now in this moment, Acho? What do you expect? He's living out a life that people already forecasted for him. The problem is, he didn't do anything in these situations. Has Ben Simmons said one thing negative about this organization? Don't worry, I'll wait. Coming up, Russell Westbrook struggled in his Laker debut last night. Struggled, that's it? Worse than that. But LeBron is not worried about it, or is he? We'll tell you if he's keeping it 100 or just 99. Next, on Speak for Yourself. Acho, want a massage?
Not go as planned in last night. Knight's loss to the Warriors. He only scored 8 points on 4 of 13 shooting. But LeBron is not pushing the panic button. Y'all take a listen.
This doesn't happen like overnight. It's not instant oatmeal. You have to work the process. You have to get better with it. You have to see things that benefit only not only you throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of a season. It ultimately benefits the team. But he's a he's a veteran in this league. So I'm not too worried about it.
Instant oatmeal.
everybody.
It does, but who in the hell still does that? So how old are you?
Is King James keeping it 100 or keeping it 99?
Man, he keeping it 99. You know what he said? Not too worried. Russell Westbrook is a vet, an OG, triple OG. And after one game, after the rematch, the grudge match of the play-in championship reunion from last year, all of a sudden you said you're not too worried? Come on, man. He shouldn't be worried at all. He should have said not worried instead of not too worried.
Okay, bet. I'm saying the same thing as you, but I think Bron is keeping it 100. At the end of the day, he ain't tripping. He ain't worried.
No, he tripping.
He ain't sweating it.
He ain't tripping.
No.
He had to go to comfort food to not trip. He's talking about instant oatmeal. That's comfort food.
That food bang.
That food bang.
Don't
like that.
The roots.
You and him.
And comfort and instant oatmeal.
Why are y'all dressing the same already? That's it for us. Game 5, ALCS.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.